It was exactly 8:14 a.m. this morning when my phone just started vibrating off the coffee table.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked down, you know, expecting a text or maybe a work email. And instead, I just saw a wall of red.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking price alerts. Ethereum down 40% in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Bitcoin wicking. I mean, it was more like teleporting down to the $70,000 range and then snapping right back.
It's the kind of volatility that makes you, you know, you stare at your screen and wonder if the pixels are broken.
I honestly thought it was a glitch in the app. I must have refreshed it three times. But looking at the stack of reports we've pulled for today's deep dive, everything from on-chain forensics by Glassnode to these leaked OpenAI memos, it's very clear this wasn't a glitch.
No.
It was a signal.
A very loud, very expensive signal.
Exactly. So for everyone listening who watched their portfolio evaporate and then magically reappear while they're waiting for their toast to pop, we're going to figure out what just happened.
Right.
But more importantly, we're going to look at why it happened. Because the thesis emerging from all these sources is, frankly, pretty terrifying.
Mm.
This wasn't human panic. This was the birth of the machine economy.
That's the core of it. I mean, if you look back at 2022, the Luna collapse, the whole FTX mess, those were human disasters.
Sure. Greed and fraud.
Exactly. Greed, fraud, bad spreadsheets made by people in penthouses. What we saw this morning, January 29th, 2026, that was ruthless mathematics.
Ruthless mathematics.
Yeah.
I like that, even if it sounds a little ominous.
Well, it's a reality check. We are moving into an era where the dominant market participants aren't people on Wall Street or, you know, retail traders on their phones.
They're autonomous agents.
They're autonomous agents. And today, for the first time on a really massive scale, we saw what happens when the algorithms take the wheel.
So let's get into the forensics of it. The agent domino theory. I was reading that Glassnode report you shared, and it traces this entire global meltdown back to a single wallet.
So
that's the part I'm struggling with. Crypto is a $1 trillion asset class.
Mm.
It's huge. How does one entity trigger a 40% drop in minutes?
Because of, well, what that entity was. The trace leads back to an institutional AI asset manager based in Singapore.
Okay, so not a person.
Not a guy in a suit. It's an algorithmic fund.
Right.
It decided, based on its own internal logic, its risk parameters, that it was time to rebalance. So executed a sell order for 10,000 Bitcoin.
Okay, 10,000 BTC is a massive amount of money, obviously. But we've seen whales sell before. Usually they use an OTC desk over the counter, or they bleed it out slowly so they don't tank the price on themselves.
A human would do that. A human cares about slippage, you know, losing value by selling too fast.
Right.
This AI didn't care. It calculated that even with the slippage, the exit was mathematically optimal at that specific millisecond to preserve its capital. It just, it dumped the order directly into the order book.
It just brute forced it.
Right. But that's only half the story. The crash didn't happen just because of the sale. It happened because of the reaction. You have to understand that the mempool, sort of the waiting room for transactions on the blockchain, is being watched.
Watched by who?
By thousands of other AI trading bots. High-frequency bots, sentiment analysis bots, liquidation hunters. They all essentially sniff the mempool.
Okay.
They saw this 10,000 BTC sell order hit the queue, and they didn't pause to think, oh, I wonder if this is a mistake, or maybe I should wait for a press release.
They just saw a massive bearish signal and reacted.
Instantly. And they all reacted simultaneously. Thousands of bots triggered their stop-loss orders in the exact same fraction of a second.
So it creates a vacuum.
Precisely. Mm. Liquidity, the availability of buyers, it just completely evaporated. When everyone is a seller and they're all moving at the speed of, you know, quantum processing.
There's nobody left to catch the falling knife.
Nobody. Not until it hits a hard floor.
And that hard floor was $70,000.
Wow. Correct. The sources are calling this fragile liquidity. It's a paradox, right? We have more volume than ever, but the liquidity is brittle because all the market participants are too correlated. They're all running on similar logic models.
It's like a crowded theater where everyone decides to run for the exit at the exact same nanosecond. The door is the same size, but the stampede is just faster.
That's a perfect analogy. And this brings us to the why. Why are there so many autonomous agents holding and trading crypto in 2026? This connects to the second part of our research stack, which is arguably even bigger than the crash itself.
The OpenAI news.
Yes.
I saw the headlines, but I want you to walk me through the implications.
Yeah.
Because we've been hearing about AI agents for a while, you know, tools that can book your flights or write some code.
Mm.
But the news today is they're getting their own wallets.
It is the missing piece of the puzzle. I mean, think about it. You have these incredible AI agents, let's say a travel agent AI. You tell it, book me a trip to Tokyo. It can find the flights, it can find the hotel, it can plan the whole itinerary. But when it comes time to actually pay...
It asks for my credit card.
Right. It hits a wall. It has to ask the human, please enter your Visa details, and why? Because the traditional banking system, Visa, Swift, your local bank, it's all built on KYC. Know your customer.
You need a passport. You need a face.
Yeah.
A utility bill.
You need a heartbeat. A piece of Python code running on a server in Virginia doesn't have a driver's license.
Yeah.
It can't walk into a Chase bank and open an account.
Mm.
This has been the single biggest bottleneck stopping AI from becoming truly autonomous. They can think, they can create, but they couldn't transact.
And this is where Bitcoin comes in.
Okay.
Because Bitcoin doesn't care if you have a face.
Bitcoin is permissionless. Satoshi solved the AI bucking problem 15 years before AI was even ready for it. You don't need a passport to generate a private key. You just need math.
So OpenAI is making this a standard feature.
The internal memos confirm it. They're rolling out a new protocol where every new agent instance is automatically assigned a Lightning wallet upon its creation.
That's wild. So if I spin up a coder agent to build me an app, it's born with a bank account.
Effectively, yes. And this changed the demand side of the equation fundamentally. We're used to thinking about user adoption in terms of humans, how many people are using Bitcoin.
Right.
But humans have limits. We sleep. We hesitate. We take weekends off.
We worry about the price. We get emotional.
Exactly. These agents function 24/7. They create what economists call inelastic demand. If a coder agent needs to pay for server time to finish your app, it doesn't care if Bitcoin is $90,000 or $95,000.
It just needs the resource now.
It needs the resource now. So it buys the currency to pay for the resource immediately.
It's strictly utilitarian. It isn't speculating on the price going to the moon. It's just fueling up the car.
Which shifts the whole narrative. For the last 2 years, all anyone talked about was the Bitcoin ETFs. BlackRock, Fidelity.
The suits coming in?
The suits were just the warm-up act. The main event is the M2M economy machine-to-machine. The sources in our deep dive suggest that the volume from M2M will dwarf institutional buying within, 18 months.
Help me visualize this, though, because machine-to-machine economy sounds very abstract. What does a transaction actually look like in this world?
Okay, let's take a scenario from one of the technical papers. Imagine you're using a GPT-6 level agent to write a complex medical research paper.
Okay. A super-powered research assistant?
Right. It's scanning the web, synthesizing data, but then it hits a roadblock. It needs a specific data set on, say, rare protein folding patterns.
And that data isn't free.
It's not free on the open web. Hmm. It's owned by a specialized medical agent, maybe a proprietary version of Google's MedPolM running on a secure server.
So my agent talks to Google's agent.
Exactly. Your agent pings the medical agent. The medical agent says, I have the data. Access costs 0.0001 BTC.
A fraction of a cent.
A micropayment. Mm. Your agent pays it instantly over the Lightning Network. The transaction settles in, 3 milliseconds? Mm-hmm. The data is unlocked. Your paper gets written. You, the human, you never even saw the transaction happen. You just got your paper.
And this is happening. How often?
Billions of times a day. Agents paying other agents for data, for storage, for compute power, for API access. This is the velocity of money on steroids.
And that's the volume that propels the price up.
That's what pushes us out of that $90,000 to $100,000 channel.
You mentioned the Lightning Network there. For those who aren't deep in the weeds, why Lightning? Why not just use the main Bitcoin blockchain?
It's a question of bandwidth, really. The main Bitcoin blockchain is like an armored truck. It's incredibly secure. It carries massive value, but it is slow.
Oh, it's 7 transactions per second, right?
Right. Not exactly Visa speeds, and definitely not AI speeds. If you have billions of robots trying to trade data, the main chain would just clog up in seconds. The fees would go to the moon.
So Lightning is the solution.
The Lightning Network is a layer 2. Think of it like opening a bar tab. You and I can exchange money back and forth thousands of times instantly on our private tab.
And we only settle up with the main chain.
When we leave the bar, we only hit the armored truck once.
And the robots are all operating at the bar.
The reports indicate OpenAI is running their own dedicated Lightning nodes. They're building a private highway system on top of the crypto infrastructure to handle this traffic. They're not waiting around. They're building the rails for their own economy.
That really clarifies why the price action has been so weird lately. We've been stuck at this $95,000 level for weeks, just banging our heads against it.
The psychological wall.
Yeah.
And this is where the difference between human and machine psychology, if you can even call it that, becomes so critical.
Because humans love round numbers.
We do. We are obsessed with them. We see $95,000, we see $100,000 approaching, and we get vertigo. We think it's too high, it has to come down, we take profit, fear kicks in.
I felt that this morning. Even before the crash, looking at $98,000, and it makes you nervous. You feel like you're standing on a cliff.
But AI has no fear.
It sounds like a bad movie tagline. AI has no fear.
But it's true. To an autonomous agent, $100,000 is just a number in a database, a data point. It doesn't get vertigo. It just looks at network value.
Right.
If OpenAI just onboarded 10 million new agents, the algorithm calculates that the network is fundamentally more valuable than it was yesterday. It executes the buy order.
It doesn't care if the chart looks overextended or if the RSI is high.
It cares about Metcalfe's law.
Remind me, that's the network effect rule.
Right. It states that the value of a network is proportional to the square of the number of its connected users.
Yeah.
Up until 2025, users meant humans. Maybe 500 million of us globally, tops.
And now?
In 2026, we're adding billions of digital entities as users. If you plug that into the Metcalfe formula, squaring billions instead of millions, the network value goes parabolic.
So those wild price targets we see, people calling for $180,000.
Based on the math of the machine economy, $180,000 isn't a bubble. It might actually be fair value.
That is. That's a lot to process. It completely reframes what expensive even means. But obviously not everything agrees on how we get there. The source author ran an experiment, right? They asked different AI models to predict the price.
The war of models? Yeah, it's fascinating to see the divergence. It shows you that even AI isn't a monolith. Different models have different sort of personalities.
So let's look at the contenders. In the red corner, we have Claude 3.5 Opus.
Claude is taking the conservative, almost human empathetic view. It looked at the crash today and predicted it would cause deep psychological scarring for retail investors, for us.
It thinks we're going to be too scared to come back in.
Exactly. Claude thinks the recovery will be a slow grind because human fear will act as a drag on the market. It sees a ceiling of maybe $135,000 by December 2026.
Which, to be fair, is still a great year. But then in the blue corner, we have Gemini Ultra 2.0. And Gemini is feeling a bit more aggressive.
Gemini is the aggressive trader. It looked at the crash and just called it a leverage flush. Basically, shake out the weak hand so the serious money can enter. Gemini thinks the market is completely underestimating the sheer scale of this automated demand we've been talking about.
So it's betting on the machines overpowering the humans.
It predicts breaking the $182,000 ceiling in the third quarter of this year. It believes human emotion is basically becoming irrelevant to the price action.
Mm.
The robot volume will just wash over our fear like a tidal wave.
That's a sobering thought. Okay, let's bring this down to earth. We have listeners right now wondering what on earth to do. Their portfolio's down, the robots are fighting. What's the strategy?
The first step is to just recognize your own biology. When you saw that red candle this morning, your amygdala lit up. Flight. It's a prehistoric instinct. Run from the predator.
Sell everything, go to cash, hide under the bed.
Right. But in this new economy, we need to adopt what the report calls machine stoicism.
Machine stoicism. I like that. What does it look like in practice?
It means looking at the market the way the OpenAI agents are looking at it right now. While we were panicking, on-chain data shows the agents were buying.
Of course they were.
They were active. They're dollar-cost averaging DCAing into the dip.
Because the math changed for them.
Because the math didn't change. That's the key. Bitcoin at $70,000 is mathematically identical to Bitcoin at $90,000, just at a discount.
Right.
The network didn't break. The tech didn't fail. Just the price moved. So if the fundamental thesis is AI needs crypto to operate, then a dip is just an opportunity.
A mathematical discount.
Exactly. And if you want to get tactical, the inspector's report suggests looking at layer two hunting.
Which specific assets are we talking about here?
The infrastructure tokens. Projects related to AI infrastructure. Think about things like Render, which provides decentralized GPU computing power, or Fetch.ai.
Okay.
These assets took the hardest hit in the crash because they're high beta. They move fast.
Volatility works both ways. When it drops hard.
Right. But these are the rails the machine economy runs on. If you believe the M2M thesis, then these protocols are essential utilities. The V-shaped recovery is most likely to happen there first because the demand is real and immediate.
It's about separating the signal from the noise. Mm-hmm. The noise is the price crashing. The signal is the utility.
And the utility is exploding. We're transitioning from an era of human speculation, you know, buying dog coins because they're funny, to machine utility, buying tokens because a robot needs them to do a job.
Bitcoin is shedding its skin.
It is. It's becoming the native currency of the Internet of Things. And that means volatility is going to stay extreme. Today will not be the last flash crash, not when you have algorithms battling algorithms.
Comforting. So I keep the Pepto-Bismol handy.
Probably wise. But the overall vector, the direction of travel, it's up.
So to wrap this all up, a bot in Singapore sneezed, the market caught a cold, but it turns out the cold is just growing pains. Robots are getting bank accounts, they're choosing crypto as their money, and they're trading with a speed we can barely comprehend.
That's the summary. And I'll leave you with one line from the report that I think should be printed on every trading desk in 2026.
Let's hear it.
In a market where robots have no feelings, do not trade with yours.
Oof, that cuts deep. Don't bring feelings to a math fight.
You will lose every time. The machine doesn't care if you're stressed. It only cares about the numbers.
Well, my heart rate has finally returned to normal. It's a brave new world out there. Thanks for helping us decode the matrix today.
Always a pleasure.
And thank you for listening to The Deep Dive. Keep your eyes on the charts, keep your emotions in check, and remember, it's just math. We'll catch you next time.